Welcome to Local Talk, where we explore people's stories and events in Central Iowa. Thank you for listening in. I am one of your hosts for today, Ursula Rudenberg, together with my co-host, Kay Puttock.
Hello, Ursula. Glad to be here. And welcome to you, listener.
If you celebrate Christmas, we hope yours was enjoyable, whether with family or if you celebrate it alone. If you are Jewish, happy Hanukkah. The first candle of the Hanukkah was lit on December 24th, and the celebration will last through January 1st. We want to share the story of that holiday as well in this hour. And finally, in the last part of the hour, Allison Walter from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau will give you a rundown of the extensive opportunities for winter entertainment and fun in our area. If you're looking for things to do, stick around. This is the place to find out.
Now, if you happen to be English or of English heritage, you may be celebrating Boxing Day today with me.
What is Boxing Day?
Boxing Day is December the 26th, the day after Christmas Day. And in Britain and the British Commonwealth, it's always a holiday. So Christmas is always a break of at least 2 days. The reason it's called Boxing Day is generally agreed to be something to do with Christmas boxes or presents for people outside one's own family. In this next segment, former KHY reporter Deb Bunker and I both talk with Greta Anderson about the meaning of Boxing Day. And since there is a special traditional menu on Boxing Day, the segment also includes an interview with Marcus Johnson of the Mucky Duck Pub and Ames British Foods, talking about some of the British foods and pickles enjoyed with cold turkey on Boxing Day. It's a lazy menu on Boxing Day. It's a day of rest after all the cooking, so you eat cold turkey and pickles.
It sounds like fun. Food and another Christmas day.
Mm-hmm.
Boxing Day is celebrated in Britain and the British Commonwealth on December 26th, the day after Christmas. This is Greta Anderson. With me today are Kay Puttock and Deborah Bunker. Kay is from Britain. What part of Britain?
The southern part of England, London and Kent.
And Deb is from Canada. What part?
Originally from Saskatchewan, but I've lived pretty much across Canada as I moved along following my husband doing his degrees in research, and moved to Iowa from Montreal 15 years ago.
How did you celebrate Boxing Day in your respective homes?
Well, I've just been talking to Marcus of British Foods about this, but basically it's a day that I really missed when I came to America, and I felt I had to have a party on Boxing Day. It was a day that we ate cold turkey, lots of pickles, and in our house we always had Christmas cake, too.
Is that like fruit cake?
Yeah, rich fruit cake. It was usually frosted with like a snow scene and snowman. I love fruit cake. I know people make rude remarks about fruit cake, okay. But I love it. And in fact, our wedding cakes are fruit cakes too, with white frosting.
That mine was as well.
Yes. Really?
Yep, white frosting. That's mm-hmm. right. And don't forget the alcohol.
So you celebrate it with special foods, Deborah?
In Canada, Boxing Day is hockey. Because two major hockey tournaments start around that time, so a lot of watching hockey on TV. We also have Boxing Day sales. It's like Black Friday here in the States. So if you want to go out and shop in that day, return stuff, you can do that. But I really missed having Boxing Day like Kay. Quebec is the only province in Canada in which they do not recognize Boxing Day. They don't follow the British tradition. That is anathema. So we started our own tradition there of Christmas Day would be the day to open the presents and just assemble things and play games with the kids. And our kids were little then, so it was a fantastic day of just, you know, relaxation and fun. And then Boxing Day would be the day that the kids could do whatever they like, but the adults prepared the Christmas meal and we had guests. And, of course, we kept that up when we moved to the States. Mm-hmm. It was kind of nice because people who celebrated Christmas here on the 25th could still come over for dinner, for Christmas dinner at our house.
Mm-hmm. So I have to ask about the name Boxing Day. Do you put on gloves and duke it out over your presents? What is this day? Do you put the gifts back in the box and give them to servants? I've heard so many different things.
Yeah. The first time I remember hearing the term Christmas box, I must have been younger than 9 because we'd moved out of that house by the time I was 9. And there was a ring at the doorbell, and I came downstairs, and there was a man, and he said, "Have you got a Christmas box for the paper boy?" And I ran upstairs, and my father was absolutely prepared for this. He came down and obviously gave the paper boy a tip. And that's the first time I'd heard that term, and I became aware then that everyone knew what Christmas box meant. It meant tip or a gift for your service people, people that delivered your papers. We had coal fires, delivered the coal.
So he asked for a box.
He asked for a box, and
but
he
got a tip.
He got a tip in an envelope. There's two theories about it. Opening the poor box for the poor on Boxing Day, which actually the 26th of December is what used to be called, and I guess still is called in Catholic countries, the Feast of Stephen, St. Stephen's Day. Like the carol, you know, Good King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen. And then in that carol, they take food and fuel to the poor man that they see.
Yes.
So this is a traditional day for giving food and fuel and whatever to the poor. And then in great houses, the servants would have the day off on Boxing Day, and they'd often be given a feast by their employers.
It's a nice day after the hustle and bustle of Christmas. You've spent all Christmas Day cooking and working yourself really hard. Then the next day, you put the leftovers out, and it's just a really nice, relaxing family day.
Christmas is like the 2 days. And then, of course, if it comes at a weekend, you'd have Christmas Day, Christmas Sunday, and then Boxing Day would be the Monday. You had to have that extra holiday, which was Boxing Day. On Boxing Day, you'd had cold turkey and pickles for lunch, so you were ready for some Christmas cake, as my dad used to say, lashings of hot tea.
Lashings.
Lashings of hot tea, which meant gallons of hot tea at tea time. And little sandwiches and, you know.
Little sort of squares of fruitcake, I remember. Uh-huh. Fruitcake's very big. I mean, my mom used to spend so much time making fruitcake around the holidays. You can't imagine. Yeah. It was a huge production. We'd just continue the Christmas feast, more or less. I just remember lots of nuts and those hard candies. They just come and they all stick together.
Oh, humbugs?
Yes, humbugs.
Yeah,
I liked those when I was a kid.
Yeah, and then, of course, Christmas pudding or plum pudding, that's like a hot fruitcake, really. Do you eat that in Canada?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you light yours on fire?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a kind of a, like a midway between a pudding and a...
Well, you know, it's the big scene in A Christmas Carol, you know, when they eat that giant goose, then they bring in the pudding and water pudding, and it's in flames.
Yeah. Hmm. Those are really good memories.
All ye wealth or rank possessing, all of you who bless the poor shall yourselves find blessing. That's how it's something like that.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, it is beautiful.
Good King Wenceslas looked down on the Feast of Stephen. When the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even, brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel. When a poor man came in sight, gathering with her fuel. Good King
You are listening to KHOI's Local Talk. The British holiday of Boxing Day takes place on the day of St. Stephen, directly after Christmas. Here's Kay Puddock's conversation with Marcus Johnson, owner of Ames British Foods, on the topic.
I'm here with Marcus Johnson, owner of Ames British Foods. Welcome, Marcus. Thank you for coming.
Good afternoon, Kay. It's a pleasure to be here.
What we're particularly interested in today is Boxing Day foods and things like Christmas crackers, if you'd like to talk about those and
sure,
how those go in Ames.
Well, I always love talking about food, as you know. It's one of my favorite subjects.
Okay, and how about Christmas crackers? How can we explain Christmas crackers to people that don't know what they are?
Not edible at all. That always catches people out. It's quite hilarious. We have a huge selection of crackers in the store, and I had someone in just the other day that was actually paying for them before he realized that they were not edible.
Well, we better explain what crackers are. They're things that you use almost like table decorations that you put by the place setting on the table.
Yep.
And they're called crackers because two people, each person grabs one and then you pull them and hopefully, if things go right, there's a cracking sound because there's a little tiny bit of gunpowder.
There's actually some gunpowder in there, yep.
And then all various treats fall out when the cracker bursts.
Yeah, quite right.
And what always falls out is, however cheap the crackers are, there's always a paper hat, or as we call it, so it's like a little paper crown. Everyone wears them without embarrassment.
Yep.
Everyone wears their paper hat. There's always usually a riddle and a paper hat, at least.
Yeah, there's a joke, and no matter how much you pay for the crackers, the joke is always terrible. Just appalling. But that comes in every cracker. The paper hat is in all crackers. They never fit me. They always split. And a gift, some sort of trinket. Now, there's crackers that are specifically designed for kids, and they have little kids' toys in. Uh-huh. And then there's family ones that have a mixture. And then there's the higher-end ones. And we have some of our more expensive ones. This will probably sound odd, but they have things like metal nail clippers and combs and magnifying glasses. We have some really unique ones this year. We have two varieties of musical crackers. One box of crackers that contain mini handbells, and you can actually create a handbell choir around the Christmas dinner table. Then there's a slight variant in that which consists of whistles instead of bells, so you can create a little whistle choir at the Christmas dinner table.
Okay, what I particularly wanted to talk to you about today, though, is Boxing Day, because that's something
Boxing
else
Day.
That Americans don't know about.
No.
And I wondered if you, when you first came here and you first realized you were going to be here for a few Christmases, whether you missed Boxing Day.
To us, Boxing Day was just another day to kind of relax after the hustle and bustle of Christmas, and I really miss it as well. It seems that having to go back to work on the day after Christmas seems too soon.
Yeah. You know, now, did you eat special foods in your house on Boxing Day?
We ate leftover turkey.
Right.
Yes.
And, of course, accompanied by all sorts of pickles, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, one of our more unique products in the store is something called Branston Pickle. And it's basically a chunky chopped up vegetables, including rutabaga and some other things, in a brown, tangy sauce. And it just so happens it goes really well with cold turkey.
Yeah, it's sort of crunchy.
It's sort of kind of crunchy, and tangy. And it goes really well in the turkey sandwich. So I always push it at Thanksgiving, actually, because that's when Americans eat a lot of turkey. I push to Branson, hey, you need to get some of this for that leftover turkey that you're going to have. I think generally when people try it over here, they really like it.
It's very good.
It's very good. And it's one of those few things that there's absolutely no equivalent over here. You know, so a lot of our foods, there are sort of equivalents, but there's nothing like Branston Pickle.
No, there isn't.
No, and it's one of my favorite things, actually. If I didn't have the food store, it's the one thing I would buy somewhere else online or whatever.
Now, I'm not sure if you have them in the store, but something we used to have a lot in my family was mustard pickles. You don't see those here either.
No, we didn't have those.
You didn't have those.
No.
And you had Bubble and Squeak.
Bubble and Squeak, of course. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe we should explain what Bubble and Squeak is.
Okay, yeah. Bubble and Squeak is what one does with the leftover vegetables. And so
potatoes.
And potatoes, yes, of course, potatoes. Those are basically just fried in a skillet, kind of like a mashed potato, or you can make them into patties as well, and just eaten as a side. I happen to be a little bit of a heathen and really like tomato ketchup with my Bubble and Squeak, which used to drive my mum crazy, but it just goes really well with Bubble and Squeak. So.
Now, pickled onions is something we always had with the turkey. And I had a lot of cousins, and most of them seemed to be boys, and most of them were older than me, because on Boxing Day they'd be tugging into these huge pickled onions with their cold turkey and saying, I love Boxing Day. And I'm sure a lot of it was those pickled onions.
Yeah.
Which you have different sizes and different strengths, I believe.
There's extra strong pickled onions. The main difference between our pickled onions and the ones that are available over here is they're pickled in more of a malt vinegar, so they're darker, and they're bigger onions. You can get the silver skin onions, the little silver skin onions over here that are just pickled in white vinegar. But what I think people really like, what I really love, is the larger.
Right, that's something I really miss too, actually, yeah. is pickled onions. I love those.
Well, you should mention the other pickled things we were talking about earlier, because those are so...
Oh, pickled walnuts.
Unique.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. I noticed these, and I read a lot of old recipes, and I was excited because I'd never actually seen pickled walnuts before. Mm-hmm. But I'd read about them in old recipes, and so I was excited to see them. And you have them in your store?
We have them in the store, yeah. And most people are just very intrigued by them. They don't buy them. They're extremely expensive, actually. But people are very intrigued by them. It's a rather unusual concept.
As I say, all these old recipes, and I'm going to try something called Wow Wow sauce, which is apparently an old traditional sauce to go with Bubble and Squeak, and it has pickled walnuts in it. Yeah, I mean, that's what you say when you eat it.
Wow.
Apparently, because it's pretty hot, and it's got mustard in English strong mustard, and a lot of Worcestershire sauce and pickled walnuts. Did you have in your family, or you know, amongst your neighbours where you lived, special activities you did on Boxing Day?
We weren't big into sports, so what we would do is go for hikes. And a lot of British people do that, especially on Christmas Day after lunch or Boxing Day, especially if the weather's nice, you'd go for a hike.
Right.
And you know, it's remarkable. When last time I was home, actually, I noticed there's so many people out hiking, you know, which you just don't see over here.
That's so true. And in fact, my sister's village, they have a Boxing Day hike, like the village.
Oh, really?
The whole village gets together.
Yeah.
And they go on a hike that's sort of pre-planned, and they usually go back to someone's house, or if there's a big group, several people's houses, or to the pub for snacks afterwards.
Right.
After the hike.
Yeah.
So that would be sort of around about tea time when they finish the hike.
Yeah, it's a big cultural thing.
Yeah.
And of course, everyone has dogs. The British are great dog lovers, and so you'll see all these families out with their dogs.
Yeah, and in most pubs you can take your dog into the pub, or in fact even into hotels and things like that. If people take their dogs everywhere, the dogs tend to be well behaved, socialized.
Yeah, I think so.
They just lie down under your chair and don't bother you. Is there anything we haven't talked about, or I haven't asked you, that you'd like to talk about, or any final shot you'd like to say about British foods or Boxing Day?
We do enjoy eating to excess on those days, and of course the British enjoy a libation or two, and really Boxing Day is a day to do both those things and to take it easy and to watch an old black and white movie on the TV in the afternoon. And
always an old movie. Yeah.
That's actually one thing I just had forgotten about, actually. The Wizard of Oz. Is it Christmas Day or Boxing Day?
That's interesting. It's a very American thing.
It's a very American film, but it's absolutely ingrained in British tradition now to show that movie on... It's either Christmas Day or Boxing Day. I don't remember. So I told my wife this, and she thought that was the most bizarre thing in the world, and she almost didn't believe me.
Thank you so much, and have a good Boxing Day.
Thank you, Kate.
You are listening to Local Talk on KHY Community Radio. I'm one of your hosts today, Kay Puttock, here with Ursula Rudenberg. It's been my pleasure to tell you about Boxing Day from my native England. Hanukkah is another holiday that's occurring right now. Ursula, you interviewed John and Barbara Pleasants a few years ago about the story and meaning of Hanukkah. John is the congregation president of the Ames Jewish Congregation, as well as the cantor. Let's listen to their wonderfully detailed description of Hanukkah.
In 167 BCE, we call it BCE rather than BC, which means before the Common Era. At that time, the Jews that were in what we call Israel now were under the rule of Syrians after Alexander King Alexander had sort of conquered that whole region.
The Judea was ruled by Assyrian Greeks following Alexander, who conquered the area. Alexander the Great was very interested in Judaism and was willing for Jews to continue their religious practices. However, Alexander the Great died when he was 32 years old, and his followers, subsequent rulers, did not share his views of allowing captured communities to continue practicing their religions.
And so the Syrians had control. The whole region was sort of what we call Hellenized or sort of Greek-like. They brought in a lot of Hellenistic practices, started taking things out of the synagogue and replacing them with other kinds of statues and things like that. And part of what was happening was imposed on the Jewish people, but part of it was something the Jewish people at that time started getting into themselves. So they were starting to become Hellenized and forgetting their original practices and things like that. Basically, the Jews were becoming more secular, but the secular mm-hmm. had to do with the Greek culture.
And eventually, Antiochus IV, or Antiochus Epiphanes, came to be ruler, and in an effort to gain greater control over his subjects, he decided that peoples were no longer allowed to practice their own religions. They all needed to adopt the Greek religion. However, there were a number of Jews who continued to practice the Jewish religion and were opposed to Jews who were following Greek ways. And eventually, a priest named Mattathias rose up when he was being forced to practice the Greek religion. He, together with his sons, rebelled. And over a period of 3 years, this guerrilla war prevailed. Antiochus had ordered his army to defile the temple in Jerusalem. And when eventually Mattathias's sons were victorious in their guerrilla war, they immediately wanted to get rid of the statue of Zeus, get rid of anything that defiled the holiness of the temple. And they wanted to rededicate it to the Jewish God. Hanukkah grew out of that. Hanukkah means rededication.
Another story gets attached to this, which is what we mostly think about when we think about Hanukkah, and that has to do with the lights. And this has been tied into the historical story, and there's one of the things that's in the synagogue is something called the Ner Tamid, which is the eternal light. And so it's always burning there. Well, they didn't have enough oil for this light to keep burning and burning, and so all they had was oil for one day.
When the Jews got into the temple, they wanted to rekindle the great menorah, but they could only find one small cruse of oil. And it was not enough oil for the oil to burn for 8 days and nights. But they took a chance and went ahead and used the oil to kindle the lights on the menorah. And miraculously, the oil lasted, hence the celebration. Now, I emphasize that this is a story that we share with the children. This legend of the oil does not appear in any Jewish literature until several hundred years after the events. And some people think that this legend was developed to take the emphasis away from the guerrilla warfare, because at the time that the legend came into being, Jews were under control. They were a subjugated group, but they wanted to continue practicing their religion. And by taking the emphasis away from the guerrilla warfare, the rebellion, and the success of it, and emphasizing the rededication of the temple and the miracle of the lights, they felt that they would be in a better position to continue practicing their religion under foreign domination.
And the menorah has significance now because it was symbolically part of the original temple, the spiritual home of Judaism, which was destroyed.
Yes.
Can you explain what the menorah is?
The best word I can think of is to describe it as a candelabra. However, candles did not exist in ancient times, so it was oil that was used to produce light. It was a fairly substantial object. I'm not sure if it stood on the ground, but I envision it as being at least 3 feet tall and maybe taller than that. And the reason I say that is because when the Romans conquered Jerusalem in the year 70 CE, they took that menorah back to Rome. And we have a frieze from that time period that shows this huge menorah being dragged by the Roman soldiers.
And what was the purpose of the menorah?
I don't know, but it was in the temple, so it must have had some special significance in that temple. Our Hanukkah is a special type of menorah that's only used at Hanukkah, and our Hanukkah actually has 8 branches in addition to 1 helper, because we have 8 nights of Hanukkah, so there is 1 holder for each candle for each night of Hanukkah. And then because you're not, those candles are not to be seen as actually providing light for work, there needs to be a separate candle for lighting those, the sort of the worker candle, or the shamash is what we call it. Our synagogue has a Hanukkah party every year. The way we've done it in recent years is we do it as a potluck. So we have the latkes and salad and dessert, but everyone brings a main course to go with the latkes. And on one of the nights of Hanukkah, each family brings its own menorah and candles, and we put them on the tables. And since you have 2 or 3 families at a table, you'll have 2 or 3 Hanukkiot to light. And we all say the blessings together and light our candles. The choir at Ames Jewish Congregation usually leads the people at the dinner in Hanukkah songs. And then we have latkes. Typically, men in the congregation make the latkes earlier in the day. This is our tradition.
Who started this, the women or the men?
I'll let you guess on that. But it's been going on a while.
The first night, you would light your shamash candle and you'd light 1 candle. And then the next night, you would light your shamash candle and 2 candles, and so on, till you get through all 8. The miracle of Hanukkah is that this oil that should have lasted only for 1 day actually lasted for 8 days. There's a blessing associated with the lighting of the candles. We light candles every night of Hanukkah, and we fry things like latkes and donuts on Hanukkah to commemorate the oil that was associated with it.
And latkes are?
Latkes are potato pancakes. Originally, there would be some small gifts for kids that would be given out at this time. And there's a little game involving something called a dreidel, which is like a top that kids would play. Certainly now, Hanukkah, again, in competition with Christmas, has been ramped up. The gift-giving part has now been ramped up to make them feel a little bit better about the whole season. So Hanukkah has clearly taken on a level of importance far beyond what it was originally. And again, there are some parallels with Christmas in that the 25th of Kislev is when Hanukkah starts, and it's the 25th of December when Christmas is. So there's some borrowing that took place there.
Did the events actually happen then, or is this also aligning with the solstice?
I mean, we do know the historical events, the Maccabees beating back the Syrians, that did happen.
At that time?
At that time. There's some other Josephus and so on. There's some other historical references to that. So we know that that did happen.
Let our song praise your saving power. You amidst the raging foes were our sheltering tower, sheltering tower,
sheltering tower, sheltering tower.
Rock of Ages, lit our song. Praise your saving power. You amidst the raging foes were our sheltering tower. You're my sheltering tower.
Sheltering tower.
That was Rock of Ages by Aaron Baron Cohen. Yes, he is Sacha Baron Cohen's brother. Very talented English family. And thank you to John and Barbara Pleasance for sharing the Hanukkah story with us. Allison Walter is here from the Ames Convention and Visitor Bureau for your regular check-in, Allison. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you because you are about fun.
Yes, and all the fun things going on in the community.
So speaking of fun, New Year's Eve is coming. Is there fun potential?
Yes, I think a lot of people think about getting out of town for New Year's Eve, but we do have a few things. Ames Public Library is celebrating Noon Year's Eve, and I think they've done this for a couple of years now, and it's kind of fun.
Noon Year's Eve.
Noon Year's Eve. It starts about 10:30 in the morning and goes through 12:15 noonish. Families can drop in, and there'll be a Noon Year's Eve party going on.
And what exactly happens at a New Year's Eve party?
Lots of games and activities. They'll ring in the new year at 12 noon and instead of midnight. And then about 12:30, they will be showing Finding Dory on the big screen.
So this is a child-friendly event.
Very much a family-friendly. So bring the kids down and get out of the house and enjoy fun at noon on New Year's Eve.
On New Year's noon.
New Year's noon, right.
And again, to be clear, this is on the day of New Year's Eve, not on New Year's Day.
Right. This is on the 31st. Yes. Also, while you're downtown, you could try a little sampling. Depot Deli all this week will be doing some sampling, a different item each day. From 1 to 3, they invite you to stop in and try some of their caprese skewers, some cookies, some of their dessert bars. Of course, on New Year's Eve, you would be trying wine. So.
And Depot Deli is on the west end of Main Street in the old train station.
Correct, yep, in the old train depot, yes. Old Main Brewery is celebrating New Year's Eve at the brewery, and they will have a New Year's Eve champagne beer to ring in the new year. They'll have lots of prizes and gift certificates. They'll do a balloon drop at midnight and a special menu for the evening. So make your reservations soon. Enjoy that. They will be kicking off at 5 o'clock with dinner reservations. Ames JCs are doing their annual New Year's Eve bash, and this year it is at the Gateway Hotel. And they'll be starting about 8:30, going through midnight, a balloon drop and a toast at midnight. And they have the Burnin' Sensations playing this year. So great band, always a lot of fun. So you can join them. Get your tickets on their website, the Ames JCs. hosting New Year's Eve bash. Lots going on. You can even get out to Hotel Patti. They're doing some room packages and evening party packages.
And so that's in Perry, Iowa?
That's in Perry, Iowa, mm-hmm. a wonderful old hotel that's mm-hmm. been restored.
Historic building. Mm-hmm.
Very historic building. Mm-hmm. And so you can enjoy New Year's Eve there as well.
And also, if I remember correctly, Plus 39 does quite a New Year's Eve bash.
Yes,
if you're a follower of Plus 39 restaurant out in Somerset, they
yes.
also have a beautiful celebration, but I think you have to make reservations for that as well.
Correct, yes. And so you'll want to do that soon because mm-hmm. the restaurants do fill up on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
So, but and I know they have a wonderful multi-course menu, special
and
menu for the evening and some entertainment.
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay, so choose your restaurant if you want to go out that evening and make sure you get your reservations in soon, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. So then we've got a few days during January where it will probably be a little bit snowy and you don't want to be cooped up inside.
So you guys have made an agenda called Snow Day Fun, Frost and Flurries and Ames. And that's
yes.
basically a checklist of things you can do
Lots
if it's
of
snowing.
Different things that you can do. We did this as a email newsletter that we sent out. It's also a blog post on traveliowa.com and it's in our Winter Sights magazine. So you can get more details there or on our website.
Okay,
lots
hold on.
To do.
Hold on just a minute. I'm going to put some music to this.
Okay.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland.
So grab your winter gear and get outdoors. Head out to Boone and spend the day at Seven Oaks Recreation. You can ski and snowboard, and they also have tubing. You don't even have to have your own gear because they have great rentals for skiing and snowboarding. And they do give free lessons to beginners. So get on out and enjoy the winter and the snow at Seven Oaks Recreation. They're on Highway 30, just west of Boone.
When you're in town, later on we'll conspire as we dream by the fire. To face unafraid the plans that we've made, walking in a winter wonderland.
Of course, we've got ice skating. There's figure skating at the Ames ISU Ice Arena, and they have a number of open skate times. Lots of skating going on over there at the Ames ISU Ice Arena. And the arena is also home to the Iowa State University Cyclones men's and women's hockey teams, and ISU has a synchronized skating team.
Wow. Is this something that you can watch?
You can definitely watch. They are Iowa State club teams.
They do performances?
And they do performances, and they have regular games where they'll bring in teams from across the U.S., both the men and women hockey teams, and the synchronized skating is all on our website. So you can check out Sights of Ames, our website, and that's where we have our event calendar with these and many more things going on. And that's CYTESofAmes.com.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
We have the ISU Madrigal Dinner coming up in January, and that is the 13th and 14th, where you can step out of the snowy weather and into a 17th century banquet hall filled with the ambiance of the Renaissance English court. They'll have a royal banquet with dancers, jesters, and musicians, and it's all presented by the Iowa State University Department of Music. You can get your tickets at the Memorial Union, and again, it's the evenings of January 13th and 14th.
And my dear, we're still goodbye, but as long as you'd love me so, let it snow and snow.
Another great thing to do on a snowy day would be Perfect Games. You can bowl, 24 lanes of bowling, and they have two floors of laser tag. They've got an arcade and a pizza restaurant and a sports bar.
So Perfect Games is a place, a business?
Yes. It's bowling, and it is out in West Ames near the Hilton Garden Inn Rest Hotel. And they've got three monster 10-foot big screens, so if you want to get out and do some bowling and watch the football games going on, it'd be a great place to do that. And they're open late, so you can bowl anytime, day or night. They do leagues for all ages, kids bowling as well. They've got the bumpers, of course, as well for bowling.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too.
Ting, tingling too.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Together with you.
Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you who.
They're calling you who.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Together with you.
Get out to Ada Hayden Heritage Park or Hickory Grove Park or out to McFarland Park. You can do some ice fishing and some cross-country skiing and snowshoeing. You can take to the trails or you can go out on the ice and do some fishing.
I heard last night that they just did a trial rescue
of
somebody
yes.
falling into the ice. They cut a hole in the ice mm-hmm. and somebody jumped in with a wetsuit.
With a wetsuit, yes.
And they did a trial run for rescuing somebody if they fall through the ice.
That's very important, and I think they do that on an annual basis. Yes, be careful and watch for the signs. Cross-country skiing, you can do that out at McFarland Park and Hickory Grove and also in East River Valley Park and the City of Ames. ISU Recreational Department, Jax, and Skunk River are all getting together to do a workshop. They'll have instructors out there and bring your cross-country skis, and they can help you get ready to take to the trails. They have some nice groomed trails out there. I believe it is on January 15th, a Sunday afternoon. And if it doesn't happen Sunday because the 15th because of not enough snow, they'll do it in the next week or two after that. So enjoy that.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Together with you.
Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you who.
They're calling you who.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Together with you.
Another fun thing to do is to paint and sip and create. Creative Spirits has a studio out in West Ames, but they also do a lot of events at other businesses, Della Vitae, Prairie Moon Winery, and they will help you through the process step by step of creating an original work of art. And then you get to take that masterpiece home and hang it in your home or give it as a gift. So check out their website for all of the different dates and places that they'll be doing their Creative Spirits painting workshops. Don't forget the Memorial Union. All kinds of great activities at the Memorial Union. Live music at the M Shop. Movies with Cyclone Cinema. ISU students will be putting on varieties during the month of January. And of course, there's always the workspace where you can do lots of different crafts throughout the month. And Cy Bowl and billiards down at the Memorial Union.
And Cy Bowl is a bowling alley.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, in the lower level. So we've got a couple of options for bowling in Ames.
And you don't have to be a student to bowl there.
No, that is mm-hmm. open to the public, so mm-hmm. anyone can bowl there.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the wonderful year-round beauty of Ryman Gardens. They have wonderful indoor space on a cold, snowy day. Go inside that butterfly wing and enjoy those butterflies fluttering about. And they have floral design classes and winter photography classes. Their crafty cocktail nights. Their train set up in the conservatory, which will be up for another week or two. And on Saturdays, they're doing family movies every Saturday in January. And they'll be showing movies at 10 a.m. and at 1. They start off with Finding Nemo. They have The March of the Penguins, Free Willy, and Finding Dory all on the docket for the month of January.
It's lots of fun.
Yeah, so bring your kids and bring your treats and enjoy Ryman Gardens. And then don't forget all of the great coffee spots that we have in Campus Town and on Main Street. Arcadia Bakery is moving and will be opening right after the first of the year in their new location on Welch Avenue. We've got Stomping Grounds, Starbucks, Cafe Boudelaire, Cafe DM here on Main Street. And just a great place to bring your book or meet a friend and enjoy some coffee or hot chocolate and get out and enjoy the community. So, lots going on. We could go on for hours, I'm sure.
This is a little bit of an overwhelming number of suggestions. All of these are on your website.
Yes, sitesofames.com.
C-Y-T-E-S of Ames.com.
Exactly.
So you can go to the website and sit down and plan your schedule.
Yes, please do. And call us if you've got questions or you need advice. We're always there to help.
It's nice to know, too, if you have friends coming from out of town or family, you can kind of figure out an enjoyable way for them to experience Ames in a lot of different aspects and kind of seeing how we're a small town, but we've got lots of interesting little nooks and crannies.
Exactly. Definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So get out and enjoy it.
What else do we have in January once we get past the holidays? And what else do we have? I know you always have like a long list of things.
Well, you know, we've got lots of basketball. It's basketball season. Starting the Big 12 season, so both men and women have games. We have Beauty and the Beast, which is a combination gymnastics and wrestling meet. And they have the gymnastics set up on one end of Hilton Coliseum and wrestling at the other end. It's a great family event. Always something going on because between the wrestling matches and the gymnastics events, you know, if you're not watching one end, you're watching the other.
It's a great name.
Yes. Beauty and the Beast. Yes, lots of fun. So they'll have actually two meets this year on Friday, January 6th at 6:30. And then again on Friday, January 27th, they will be doing the competitions. And that is at Hilton Coliseum for both. Lots and lots of things. We've got kids' activities at the library and at Ryman Gardens. We've got lots of craft and crafty nights at the workspace and at Ryman Gardens. We have a glass-blowing workshop with Art Sakati. His glass studio is out in Napier, west of Ames, and he will be doing marble making on January 14th, which is a Saturday. You can sign up for a time slot to work one-on-one with Art and learn how to blow glass and, in this case, make marbles.
Little toy marbles, nice.
And glass marbles. And
very nice.
He does one-on-one work with you, and so it's a great opportunity to try your hand at glass blowing. We've also got the ballet coming at the end of the month on Sunday, January 29th. The Des Moines Ballet will be at Stevens Auditorium, and they will be showcasing stunning artistry and exhilarating physicality of contemporary dance. And they are calling it the Des Moines Ballet Triple Bill, Sunday at 2 o'clock, the 29th, at Stevens Auditorium. So you can get your culture as well.
Well, thank you, Allison. This is a great array of activities. Obviously, your organization, among many others, have really been focusing on how to make this a richly enjoyable community. What does 2017 look like?
You know, it looks like it's going to be another busy year. We don't have any of the mega events that we had in 2016, like the Farm Progress Show or Odyssey of the Mind, but we have a real variety and a large number of conferences and a little bit smaller groups. We're continuing to work with events for 2017 and also working as far out as 2021. We've recently secured the State Games of America that will be the national level of the Iowa Games, and they'll be coming to Ames in 2021. So it's amazing all the things and all the people that will be visiting our community. As we did the math for the end of the year for 2016, overnight visitors to our community spent over $130 million of direct spending here in the community, whether that's hotel stays, restaurants, shopping, entertainment. And so it really is a big, important part of our community.
So you feel that you had a lot of momentum in 2016 in terms of bringing people to Ames?
Yep.
What for you was a highlight of last year?
Well, personally, really enjoyed working with all the international visitors that we had. With the Odyssey of the Mind, we had representatives from, I think it was about 17 different countries that came for that competition in May. We had some student organizations that brought a lot of international visitors. And then, of course, we had the Farm Progress Show at the end of August, which brought people interested in agriculture from, I think we were up to about 35 different countries that had registered that they were attending the show. So just the opportunity to interact with all the international visitors to our community was definitely a highlight for me personally.
Putting us on the world map.
Yes, definitely.
And what would you say is the priority for the Convention and Visitors Bureau for 2017?
We are just continuing to work with all different organizations to bring their events to the community and host a wide variety of conferences and sporting events, meetings of all sizes, large and small.
So, okay. What I hear you say is a real diversity of events from a lot of different places.
Yes.
This is Allison Walter from Convention and Visitors Bureau. Thank you, Allison.
Thank you.
And Happy New Year.
Thanks.
And look forward to speaking to you about February.
Sounds good.
Okay.
It'll be here before we know it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm one of your hosts today, Kay Potok, here with Ursula Rudenberg. Today's exploration of diverse approaches to this holiday time of year, centered around the winter solstice, longest night and shortest day of the year, which fell on the 21st of December this year.
People we heard from today included Marcus Johnson from Mucky Duck Pub, Deb Bunka, John Pleasance and Barbara Pleasance from the Ames Jewish Community, and Allison Walters from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
All of us on the KHOI team wish to express our very sincere and heartfelt appreciation for your support that you've shown us and for your part in the success of our end-of-the-year funding campaign. If you contributed, or if you contribute to the original matching fund, you made it possible for us to reach our goal. If you've not yet contributed, you still can. In fact, we ask you to please consider doing so before the end of the year by going to khoifm.org to donate online. That's khoifm.org.
Remember that KHOI and Local Talk are archived at khoifm.org. So if there is anything you want to hear again, you can find it at khoifm.org. The radio station is also streaming live online at khoifm.org. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. You can also listen to it online and find links to the information we gave during the program. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show, so if you'd like to try your hand at reporting, we will train you. Come and join the Local Talk team.
Remember, you are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you again on the radio.
Hello, this is Andrew Williams. I'm the 50th new member of KHOI Radio.
Thank you, Andrew.
And there's room for more, too, so come and join all the fun at KHOI, listener-supported radio.
KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Find job opportunities throughout Ames and Story County at workinames.com. Again, that's workinames.com.